Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you join us as we face the issues. Let me remind you, as we face the issues today, you have that opportunity to join in the dialogue and the discussion. You can call in and ask your questions, give your responses. As one person said, put in your 2 cents worth. Would love to have you do that today. The telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. We have a very special guest on the set that will be with us, and I'll introduce him in just a few moments. But as we look at the basic thoughts today, we're talking about, is America a Christian nation? You know, I've heard so much rambling recently in relationship to that, the denial of the fact that we are a Christian nation. We're going to be talking about that today and asking that question. Are we a Christian nation? If so, how so? If not, why not? Who's saying that we're not? Why shouldn't we think that we are? What did our founding fathers say? What did our Supreme Court justices down through the years declare in relationship to America being a Christian nation? But as we think on these subjects and as we deal with these issues, let me remind you that we do so based on the authority of the Word of God. It is the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God that makes the final decision that should be the final say-so. It ought not to be based on political, ideological bent or denominational dogma. We ought to make our decision on what we believe and where we stand based on the authority of the Word of God. It's the truth book, I like to call it. Jesus referred to it in that fashion. Jesus said to his disciples in John 8, 31 and 32, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a whole group today in Washington, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and AOC and the other three, as I like to call them, the Socialist, Marxist, Leninist, Maoist, Communist Party, today that wants to deny God, reject the Word of God, reject the truth of the Word of God. And as we reject truth, we're falling into the category that was said by George Orwell, the secularist, of a number of years ago. He said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more we'll hate those who speak it. And that's exactly what we see today. But Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am truth. Then he makes a further declaratory statement in John 17, 17, where the Lord Jesus says, thy word is truth. Ladies and gentlemen, let me impress upon you, it is the truth of the Word of God that ought to make the difference in our lives. It's the truth of the Word of God that ought to motivate us, ought to be the modus operandi of our lives. It should be the mandate for how we live. It's the truth book, the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, it was the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus, that made the statement that I've appreciated for so many years. Now, for the benefit of those theologians that may be listening or students of the Bible, I was not in total agreement with Jan Hus's theology, but he was a good man and I think did some great things in relationship to his standing on the Word of God. And he said this, and let me just read you the statement from Jan Hus. He says, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And may I challenge you with that statement from Jan Hus, the 15th century church reformer and theologian. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, it's the truth that counts for all of eternity. We have those in Washington that talk about reaching across the aisle, and it's called compromise. And compromise, you'll never find the truth. It's simply a matter of seeing who can be the best wordsmith rather than looking at it on the basis of thus saith the word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment and the full line of Honda generators. Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, has a full staff that knows the equipment. They're knowledgeable staff about the backup equipment as well as for the power equipment for homeowners and the professional landscaper. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. Some have said, well, how'd I find it? There's a gigantic benchmark there. It's a 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory flowing 24/7. Find the flagpole to the base of that flagpole. Ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you again, sometimes I get carried away with what I want to say and fail to take time to remind you of that telephone number. It's 831-0917. And a moment after the monologue, we'll be introducing Brother Dan Ort. Brother Dan is with us today. We'll give you a little more information about him and his background and what he's doing and the ministry and the organization that he serves with and what we're wanting to accomplish as we speak today and talking about the issue of the question, is America a Christian nation? Ladies and gentlemen, perhaps you already know, perhaps you're aware that Sleepy Joe, Basement Biden, President Biden, has now signed about 36 executive orders in the first 15 days of being in office. And part of those executive orders, one of them was this. Ladies and gentlemen, listen carefully. Don't fall out of your chair. President Biden has signed an executive order mandating that the sodomite flag, the LGBTQ flag, be flown at the every embassy around the world. Yes, you heard me right. Every U.S. embassy around the globe today will have a sodomite flag flying over the embassy. Now, if that's not an indicator of a demoralization and a destruction of the morals and ethics and the values of a nation, then nothing is. That's saying to the world, ladies and gentlemen, no longer are we a Christian nation. That's what that flag says. No longer we're a Christian nation. We're simply bowing and in submission and subjection to the sodomite agenda. And the Bible says that God's turned them over to a reprobate mind. And the Bible says in Romans 1, verse 24 through 28, and then down through about verse 31 and 32, he's turned them over, speaking of the sodomites. And by the way, if that offends you, I'm not going to apologize. The Bible doesn't say anything about being gay. It doesn't say anything about being homosexual. It talks about being a sodomite, 38 times in the Bible. And ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what I call it because of a central biblicist principle that I stand on. But now we're saying to the world that we're bowing and we're in submission to the sodomite agenda. We ought not to be surprised because Joe Biden made the promise when he was running. He was running his campaign out of the basement, of course. Of course, he is the Manchurian candidate. He's the Trojan horse. He's not the real president, as I call it. But nevertheless, he's in the executive office signing executive orders. And with that executive order, putting the sodomite flag at the embassies around the globe makes a good indication of where he stands. But we ought not to be surprised. He said months and months and months before the election that the first thing, priority number one, would be to initiate the Equality Act. The Equality Act was House Bill 5, passed by 240 of the socialists called Democrats in the House, and language is now on the desk of the senators, with 47 senators already signing on board. The Equality Act, as Nancy Pelosi said when she introduced the bill, she said it trumps, and she smiled if I could use that term, she said, it trumps all religious liberties, it trumps all religious rights, and it precludes anybody from saying anything in a negative sense about the sodomite community. And ladies and gentlemen, Biden has now done that. He's issued the first salvo across the bow, if you will, saying that that's the direction he's going in. Ladies and gentlemen, America, he's saying America is not a Christian nation. Well, we ought not to be surprised. We're looking at, with Biden administration, we're looking at Obama 2.0, and it was Obama, Barack Hussein Obama, that said, and I quote, that America is no longer a Christian nation. Now, he modifies that by going on and saying that we have the Muslims and the Hindus and the Buddhists, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But his de facto statement was that America is no longer a Christian nation. And now we're saying to the world that America has abandoned God, abandoned the Bible, abandoned morals and ethics and values. So let's face it. America's been trying to become a secularized heathen nation for many, many years now. We've been on that loosey-goosey track, if you will, of becoming a secularized nation rather than a Christian nation for many years. But does that mean that we're no longer a Christian nation? Absolutely, unequivocally, no, it does not. We're still a Christian nation. God help us to win back that which we once had and once enjoyed at the blessings of God. But ladies and gentlemen, let me just give you a little litany of where we've come from and where we are and what we've done. Ladies and gentlemen, we've banned the Bible from the classroom. We've banned prayer in the public arena. We've banned prayer in Jesus' name. We've approved the sodomite marriages, and we've called it legal because the Supreme Court says it's okay. We've legalized murder, and it's nothing but it's abortion, but we've legalized it, but it's murder. And the Bible says, thou shalt not kill. In fact, I did a broadcast several months back, ladies and gentlemen, and talked about the fact that the Socialist Marxist BLM Communist Democratic Party simply have broken all 10 commandments. When you look at it one by one, they've broken all 10 of them. Thou shalt not steal. They're stealing from those that are working, giving to those that are sitting and doing nothing. And I could go on and on and on. But ladies and gentlemen, the point that I want to make is we've legalized murder by way of abortion. Our nation has adopted a secular agenda based on the secular worldview, with the God's word having been abandoned. And now for the first time in American history, we've allowed government to force churches to close across America. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know of anything that's any greater stench in the nostrils of God than to find churches and pastors still hiding under the bed and in the closet. It was J. Vernon McGee a number of years ago that said that we have too many panty-waist pastors in America today. And that was said back in the 60s, Yes. And we're there today. We literally have pastors that have said, if the government says so, we're going to close the church. Where are the spines, the biblical spines, that says a pastor needs to stand up and shepherd the flock of God? You look at 1 Peter chapter 5 and you find out, shepherd the flock of God. The word shepherd is the little Greek word poimanitate. It means to lead, to feed, to guard, to guide, to direct, to protect. And that's not being done today by the shepherds, that is the pastors in America. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Psalms 33 and verse 12. Let me just share with you two or three little brief articles before we introduce our special guest. Here's an article that says, the Rutgers professor, that's the University of Rutgers University, tells student not to cite the Bible in essays because of the separation of church and state. Yes, the article says a Rutgers University, New Brunswick professor, told students that he should not quote the Bible verses in any essay because of the separation of church and state. Here's another article. Ladies and gentlemen, the New Jersey middle school instructs students, Islam is the real true faith and true religion. Ann Arbor, Michigan, the Thomas More Law Center, a national nonprofit public interest law firm based in Ann Arbor, Michigan, filed a federal lawsuit yesterday evening in New Jersey. This article is a few months old, but it goes back to the truth. In New Jersey District Court, against several officials and teachers of Chatham Middle School and the school district in Chatham, located in New Jersey. The lawsuit claiming several violations of the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution was filed on behalf of two students, a parent and her son, seventh grader student at the Chatham Middle School, were forced to endure Islamic propaganda and an explicit call to convert to Islam through the disturbing set of videos in the World Cultures and Geography classes. And it goes on to talk about those videos. And I must do this in order for you to understand this article, ladies and gentlemen, because it says here part of what they were being taught. Allah is the one God who created the heavens and the earth, who has no equal and is all powerful. Secondly, Muhammad is the last and final messenger of God. God gave him the noble Quran. And the third thing they were teaching, lo, we have sent thee, O Muhammad, with the truth, a bringer of glad tidings and warning. Number four, what is the noble Quran, divine revelation sent by Muhammad, last prophet of Allah, perfect guide to humanity? Fifth thing they were teaching in the school, the noble Quran, guidance, mercy, and blessing for all mankind. The noble Quran, without any doubt, an eloquent guide from Allah. Number six, the beautiful Quran, guidance for wise and sensible people. And number seven, Islam, a shining beacon against the darkness of repression and segregation and intolerance and racism. This article further says this propaganda video also contains excerpts from the Quran stating that Islam is the perfected religion and only religion for mankind, and it's ends with a call of conversion. May God help us to find the true faith, Islam, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what we see taking place in America today. It is bringing about the demise and at the detriment of the Christians and the Christian faith in the United States of America. God has blessed America. God still is blessing America. But I think we have closed our eyes to the fact. In fact, I'm looking at an article that says, in the U.S., decline of Christianity continues at a rapid pace. The religious landscape of the United States of America continues to change at a rapid clip. According to the Pew Research Center telephone survey, and its survey was concluded in late 2019, says 65% of American adults describe themselves as Christians when asked about their religion, and it's down 12 points from just 10 years ago. So, ladies and gentlemen, what we're finding is a rapid decline from what you and I would call true Christianity, biblical Christianity. That's the reason I say that I'm not concerned about denominational dogma. I consider myself to be a central Biblicist. Because I had a person to ask a number of years ago, what is a central Biblicist? Well, it simply means I believe what the Scripture says. It's not a matter of what some dogma says, the denomination says, what some political ideological bent says, but what does the Word of God say? And that's what we need to get back to, ladies and gentlemen, if we're going to turn back to God and turn our nation back in the right direction that will honor God and serve God. Ladies and gentlemen, it's my delight to have with us today a gentleman that I believe will have an inspiring message for us as we have our dialogue and discussion about the question, is America a Christian nation? We have with us today Brother Dan Ort, that's O-R-T, Brother Dan Ort. Brother Dan is with an organization, Reclaiming America, with the subtitle, as he calls it, God, Country, and Family Crusade. Dan, welcome to Let's Face the Issues today.
It's a pleasure to be here with you, and I want to thank you very much for the opportunity. It's an honor. All the great work you've done in the past will finally come to a conclusion when we turn back to God.
Yes.
And let Him be over America.
Amen.
Once again.
Amen.
I always say that when the ships came ashore, among those three ships was good and evil.
Mm-hmm.
Good wanted to build a righteous, holy nation. Evil wanted to plunder it.
Yes.
And we've seen over the decades what has come about, that now evil has reached the point where it has literally taken over a godly nation.
Yes, it has. And Brother Dan, before we get into the minutiae of what you and I have planned to talk about today and what I'm prayerful that our listeners will hear and heed, give our listeners a little insight, a little brief bio, who you are, why you're passionate about this issue, what you're wanting to accomplish.
Okay. Thanks again for this opportunity. I'm like everyone else. I call myself a common man, a high school graduate, a father of two wonderful children. I had my career, had my homes, and at one point, 41 years ago, almost to the date, I was a whistleblower on a national issue of the railroad. And I tried to expose what the government was doing at that time. I thought the media was the answer to exposing. And I literally put, with God's help, Geraldo Rivera in 2020 on a Conrail freight train in May of 80, only to realize that they had the power to pick the subject, pick the content, and was able to manipulate the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's happened in 41 years with the media? Where are we today with such power? It's endless power, to where the point that they literally censored the president of the United States, that they literally have covered up the biggest coup in the history of mankind.
Yes.
And the takeover of America.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here today to say I've had enough mm-hmm. of evil.
Amen.
Coming and being dominant over this country.
Yes.
And I look at the church and I say, if they won't do it, then we Christians must come out and stand for America and Absolutely. Americanism. Donald Trump was a spark that's going to set the fire of restoration in this country. And the God Country Family Crusade, I hope, will be a catalyst to spread a spiritual awakening from this point here where we are today.
Amen.
And God will use that and spread it across the country if we present it.
Yes.
And I'm here to present the plea to restore God in this country as I witnessed it as a child. On Friday afternoon, we went across the street to the basement of a church and did memory verses. Mm-hmm. It was legal, public school.
Yes.
Could we do that today?
Not today at all.
Not today.
Not today at all.
Did it hurt me? No, I benefited. I benefit my entire life knowing that there was a God and there was a Jesus Christ. I haven't always followed him. I'm a prodigal many times over. But at age 70, I've realized that if we don't do it ourselves and follow God's will in our lives, it'll never be done.
Absolutely. There needs to be, and I've said this so often and still say today, that there is a vital need for we as Christians to be obedient to the scripture where the Lord Jesus says that we're to be salt and light.
Salt and light.
Salt and light. Salt's got to get out of the shaker and light's got to get out from under the bed.
That's right. And we were meant to be that to the world. And when you ask, well, what does that mean on a world scale? We were not only to bring Christianity to the world. We were to bring Americanism. We were to show them the wonders of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness in this country.
Yes.
And offer it to them. For their people, what did they choose? Did they choose to give their people life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness? No.
That's the reason we have so many millions and millions and millions wanting to cross the border today.
That's correct.
If we're such a bad country, why do they want to come?
That's correct. And why aren't people leaving if we're such a bad country?
Yes. Then I'm looking at the Patriot's Bible on page 308, and it says, here's a small sample of convictions of some of our founders. Patrick Henry, governor of Virginia, says, it cannot be emphasized too clearly and too often that this nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians, not on religion, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ.
That is true.
Hey, that's a powerful statement. Another statement made by John Hancock, the signer of the Declaration of Independence. Principally and first of all, I give and recommend my soul into the hands of God that gave it, and my body I recommend to the earth. Nothing doubting, but at the general resurrection, I shall receive the same again by the mercy and the power of God. And then the Chief Justice, John Jay, the first Chief Justice, I might say. Providence has given to our people the choice of their rulers, and it is the duty as well as the privilege and interest of our Christian nation to select and prefer Christians for their rulers. Could that be the problem, Brother Dan?
Of course,
that we have stopped selecting Christians as our rulers, those that are the ones that we elect and put in office.
I think the problem is the Christians stopped running for office.
Yes.
And that they chose to go along with the flow versus make a stand in the name of Christ.
Tell us why you think Christians stopped running for office.
Well, one would think it was the fear of winning, maybe, that whatever they would do wouldn't do any good. Also, they were, in a sense, denied the opportunity. You know, when they came out to run, they were on an onslaught. Everything was geared against them to prevent their winning. And that's that power of the media. That's that power of the system. People want to think, well, what's the system? The system is pure evil to bring down God's nation.
Yes.
And the church, On one precept was, oh, if we speak up, we'll lose our tax privileges.
Yes.
Now, that was a hoax.
Total hoax.
Not one church has ever lost tax privileges for speaking the gospel.
Not one
Christ.
Has ever been prosecuted
Not
under
one.
The Johnson
Not
Amendment
one.
Of 1954 either.
That's correct. So in 54, let's see, that's what, 70 years?
70 years,
roughly. Why are we still afraid to come out as pastors and preach the gospel of Christ as Americans? We have the opportunity still, now again, still, but there's laws coming on the book that will restrict us from speaking the Word of God.
Absolutely.
In fact, if we allow that to happen, we're done. We are done.
One of the things that took place with the Johnson Amendment, Dan, and I'm sure you're familiar with it, it was a rider to a transportation bill in 1954.
Yes.
Lyndon Johnson hated the Catholic Church, and he was afraid that John Kennedy was going to become a puppet for the Catholic Church.
Yes.
So he wanted to make sure the churches were silenced. And so that amendment, that rider, was added to that transportation bill. But the good thing is that May of 2017, President Donald J. Trump, by executive order, canceled it.
Right.
Now, the thing that I'm fearful of, not fearful that by the sense that I'm shaky and afraid, but with Biden and his executive orders thus far canceling everything that Donald J. Trump had done, if he does that, if he cancels the executive order of Donald J. Trump and goes back to the IRS being the hand of government to enforce the will of the government on the people, it will destroy the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It will silence every Christian. But the thing is, going back to my question, for 50, 60 years now, pastors have been able to say, well, I cannot do that because of separation of church and state, I must be silent. And that's an absolute demonic deception today. It is not true. Main thing that I say is the reason more people, Christians, are not going into the governmental work, i.e. political agenda arena, is because pastors for too long have taken the position that we ought to stay out of politics. Christians ought not to be in that. It's a dirty thing. You ought not to get involved. Therefore, the less involved Christians are in the process, the more we see the demise of Christianity in the nation, in the United States of America.
What's the old saying? I believe we have a
caller on the line. Go to the question or comment, please.
Good morning, Dr. Youngblood, Brother Davis.
Good morning, Brother Davis. I hope you're doing well.
Yes, sir. Praise God. I thank God for you and for the brother that's there on today. And I was so overjoyed to hear him say, Dr. Youngblood, that it's time for us to stand and defend our ground. The church is our ground, Dr. Youngblood, and I'm a firm believer that evil can't take over there unless we let it take over. God is our defender, and if we stand on holy ground, then God is going to fight our battle. Now, I'm a firm believer also, Dr. Youngblood, as it said here in the book of Romans, chapter 11 and 5, except there had been a very small remnant left for us today. Amen. We would have been destroyed, like it said in the book of Isaiah 1 and 9 also, just like Sodom and Gomorrah. That's what's going to happen to us on today. We will be destroyed. We will be run over by evil. We will be overtaken if we don't take a stand. And I thank God. I praise the living God on today. Amen. Because I'm standing under that banner. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And that's what I'm standing on. I'm trusting and believing and depending on God to see us through this matter on today. Amen.
Amen. Keep on praying, brother. That's what we're going to talk about further in the broadcast also, is how can we get involved? What can we do? So keep on tuning in today, because Dan's going to share with us how we can become a part of the action team to get involved and bring America back to God and shore up the foundation that our founding fathers gave us as a Christian nation. But thank you so much for your calling. God bless you today. And keep on looking up. Scripture says our redemption draweth nigh. Ladies and gentlemen, here's a brief blurb before we take our news break. Biden, fundamentally transforming America. This is by Tony Perkins. Tony Perkins says this. It's a three-page article. I'll read two paragraphs. Joe Biden insisted that his administration would look like America. If that's true, most Americans are ready for an extreme makeover. A week and a half into, the majority would agree. Nothing this White House has done comes even close to resembling their values. Instead, it's been a 13-day parade of left extremism that snuffed out any hope of the president's whole soul is actually in bringing America together. What's in it, as far as the Washington Post calls it? It's an LGBTQ agenda that will blow the doors off the modern convention and thought of America as a Christian nation. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a one-minute break at the top of the hour for our news. Hang in there. Don't turn your dial. We'll be right back as we continue to face the issues.
Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.